Yes, indeed. And it's a football heavy second hour here. We thank you so much for being with us. Jason Ross, I am Damian Barling. This is The Lowdown. Make sure if you're wrapping up your lunch break, you're headed back to the office, you don't want to miss any part of the show, you can download the radio.com app and listen to us right there at your desk. Of course, you can go to khdk.com. You can download us on the TuneIn app also, or you can listen to us at your leisure. If you just subscribe to The Lowdown podcast on iTunes, and if you do that, if you wouldn't mind, rate and review us as well. Bosses like that. And we're all about what the boss is like.
Yeah, for sure.
Because if there was ever a company show, The Lowdown. The Lowdown is the
proven company.
It is proven fact, scientific, as a matter of fact. So a number of ways that you can listen to us. And, of course, everybody listening to us on 1140 AM in Northern California, we greatly appreciate it. We got one small thought on the AFC coming up here in just a heartbeat. John Madden, A Football Life, debuts tomorrow. Tomorrow night on the NFL Network, and one of their producers, Dave Douglas, is going to join us at 1:30. Really a fascinating look at John Madden, who's had so many different – he's had three lives regarding football, and that's pretty amazing when you look at the, you know, a coach, a broadcaster, and now just synonymous with that video game.
And that's the one, like you said earlier, that's probably going to be the staying power one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because, and I even think there's a portion of people he coached.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
When who did he?
And
coach?
When do we get to the point where he was Gruden before Gruden? What
right.
do you mean? You know what I mean?
That can't be right. I remember him as an announcer.
Uh-huh.
But that's where we are now, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Nate Lundy of Fantasy Football Hour, the nationally syndicated.
That's right.
Fantasy Football Hour will join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll get not only help you get your roster set as the NFL Week 4 season kicks off tonight with the Bears. And the Packers, fans are really upset with Aaron Rodgers. Who knew? Of course, we'll have that Thursday night football game for you here on Sports 1140 at 5 o'clock. And the new play-by-play analyst for my Washington Wizards and former Sacramento Monarch used to do, what was that show called? House Party?
Yeah, House Party Live.
With Coz?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Kara Lawson. She'll be with us at 2:30. So a lot to go here in the final 2 hours. Of The Lowdown, we opened up obviously talking about Rick Pitino. You heard Chris mention the NCAA scandal in Louisville and all that is going on with that. And it's kind of now where, Pitino, that's a big name. That's as big as it gets when you talk about coaching.
Yeah.
You talk Pitino, you talk Calipari, you talk Coach K, you talk Roy Williams. It's, you know, Bill Self. He's in a very, very elite category. So him on the verge of being dismissed. That's a big one.
Yes, it is for sure.
That's pretty big, and
I don't know what more layers there are, but
that's what we were trying to get to in the first hour. Is what else is there?
Yeah, feels like they got a lot of it out now, but who knows? Maybe there's a little bit more.
Well, they are digging.
Yeah,
they went to Nike. Nike wasn't a part of this. They had a guy come over from Nike who was a part of Adidas, who was a part of this, and now a certain branch of Nike has been subpoenaed. So. They're not done. They may have gotten what they were originally investigating, but they're not done. And, again, this is not an NCAA investigation. Jay Ross and I came to the conclusion, if it was, we wouldn't know about it.
Right.
But this is an FBI investigation, which is why we know about it, and it is why we are where we are.
Did you see this is where the internet is great. Yesterday there was a mock-up of a T-shirt that said it looked like a college bracket. So imagine, team – A and team B, and then the team advancing, but it said FBI, Louisville, FBI, moved on to the next round.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, that's a great shirt.
Very clever.
It is
a great shirt. That's a good one. Dave Yeager and Vlade Divac both got extensions. Peja got a title change. He'll be around the Golden One Center a little bit more as practice has kicked off. Official practice has kicked off for your Sacramento Kings. LeBron twisted his ankle aggravated his ankle at Cavs practice today. You know, Dwayne Wade is a mellow of the Cavs. So just a quick recap of what we've been talking about. But now, Jay Ross, we got to dig in to the NFL as week four of the season kicks off tonight. And we weren't here yesterday because of Oakland A's baseball to do our one small thought on the AFC. So we will do that now. And I'll lead us off.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Not at all.
I got the AFC South here. Not a big fan of the AFC South. And I'm not a big fan of the Indianapolis Colts either. But they were an underdog on the road against the Cleveland Browns last week. My one small thought on the Colts is it's pretty simple. Follow it up. Keep going. Keep moving. you're starting to see life from Jacoby Brissett. As a matter of fact, when we were leading into the season, it was around this time where I was pleading with them to start Jacoby first. Start him week one. Put him out there, let him play. And then by the time you get to week four and week five, you'd probably have a pretty good feel. He'd probably have a pretty good feel for the offense, and you might be comfortable with him back there. Well, that happened in week three against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Excuse me, I'm sorry, the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
So now he has an opportunity to build on that and to continue to build and continue to build. So do that. Follow it up. Texans, figure out that offensive line.
Good luck with that.
Figure out the offensive line of the Tennessee Titans, because last week Marcus Mariota wasn't touched. And when I say he wasn't touched, I mean he was not touched. He wasn't breathed on last week. You got J.J. Watt back there. You got Jadeveon Clowney back there. You're going to have to figure out a way to make Marcus Mariota uncomfortable. And I'm going to use that one small thought to segue right into the Tennessee Titans, who they're playing this week. Protect and serve. That is the motto of that offensive line. So while it is the Texans' job to figure them out, for the Tennessee Titans, again, Marcus Mariota wasn't touched. J.J. Watt has, this is an absurd stat. J.J. Watt has 15 and a half sacks in 10 games against the Tennessee Titans.
Wow.
15 and a half. That offensive line that Tennessee has is improved significantly over the last 6 years. Last year, they were ranked 7th in the entire league. They're on their way to being around that again. But last year, you didn't have to deal with J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. Now you got to deal with both of them. And neither one of them has been good this year. So if J.J. Watt is ever going to have a breakout game, it's going to be this one. At least history says it will. So that offensive line, Tennessee, my thought for you is protect and serve. Jacksonville, final team here of the AFC South, J. Ross. Your favorite on the road for the very first time since 2001. This sounds vaguely familiar to what we were saying about the Cleveland Browns just last week. 44 consecutive games, you have been the underdog on the road. But Jacksonville was tremendous in London. We started calling them the London Jaguars last week. They absolutely annihilated the Baltimore Ravens. My one small thought for them is you're favored to win. You should get that done this week.
All right, I'll go to the – you're not a fan of the AFC South. How about the AFC North? They had a brutal week. I'm going to start with the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, they really did.
Yeah, 0-4. They all lost. Ray Lewis took a knee, and the Ravens took a dive.
No, Jason, that is not true.
What was it?
He took two knees because he was praying.
Okay.
He was not protesting. He was praying, and that's why he was down on both knees. It's not because he had got drunk in London like the internet was suggesting.
All right. Well, I'll change my one small thought.
He's also a giant D-bag.
Yeah.
And I still hate his guts.
So I'll say it. Ray Lewis took two knees, and the Ravens took a dive.
There you go.
So for some reason, we get this question. It's been out there. It's kind of one of those internet things where the question is Joe Flacco elite? That question gets thrown out there a lot. Well, Sunday in London was not a good day for those that suggest that he is. It was probably his worst day as professional. The Ravens, just for whatever reason, weren't ready to go. I don't know if they took Jacksonville seriously. Coach Harbaugh teams are generally, I would say, always ready to go, whether or not they have the more talent on the field or not. But this was the fortunate part for them was that it was 6 a.m. because most people missed it, probably woke up and saw the score and went, whoa, what happened in that game? Well, it was bad. Mm-hmm. All sorts of levels of bad for the Baltimore Ravens. My one small thought on the Cleveland Browns, even Vegas got burned by the Browns. They finally put them in as favorites on the road. Those number crunchers in Vegas picked this team to do it as road favorites, and they missed this one too. And the Browns, I don't know. I'm understanding their philosophy. I am a big Hugh Jackson fan.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wrong on him and this team so far, and I just thought I don't generally like it when teams start rookie QBs, but I think Kaiser's been fine. I just thought they would be better and certainly a great opportunity to take care of a Colts team that's in disarray and just a missed opportunity for the Browns. My one small thought on the Cincinnati Bengals, better, but still winless. Better is not going to get it done. They got to get a win. They had so many opportunities to get a quality win at Lambeau. Missed chance after missed chance, and that would have been a great bounce back game. They would have been the only one in the division that won. They would have been 1-2. Instead, they're staring at 0-3, and they now get the winless Browns this week in a game that somebody's got to win. But just a missed opportunity.
Are we sure? Are we positive?
That one should probably end in a tie to leave it best. But I think there's more talent on the Bengals than their record shows. But, hey, you are who you are, and for some reason they're 0-3.
Okay, Denny Green, is there a more – I'm trying to run through them in my head real quick before I ask it. Is there a more baffling team in the NFL than them?
No, I think they're up there.
I mean, because we can point you just mentioned Cleveland. We can point to what's wrong with Cleveland. We know what's wrong. What's always wrong with Cleveland. Indianapolis, we know it's because Andrew Luck isn't there. Andrew Luck's not practicing again, by the way, this week. But what is the freaking problem in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else could get on that list. Like if Seattle lost this week to go 1-3, I think we'd be, and that would be a home loss. I think we'd be to the Colts, no less.
If they lost to the Colts, oh my goodness,
in Seattle, yeah. But yeah, it's probably right now it's Cincinnati.
Eyebrows. Yeah, that would raise some eyebrows.
My last one in the AFC North again is Pittsburgh, and the best team in the North added to the winless week. And you think about where that could have gone. Road losses aren't really bad in the NFL, but losing Chicago feels bad for Pittsburgh, and it just never took shape in this game. And it was a game they were kind of always chasing it. They were behind. I thought they still might find a way to win. They lost it in OT. And all these teams can think the same way. Yeah, they lost. Maybe they dodged something because everybody lost. But imagine if just one of them got a win. If Pittsburgh did, even further separation on the division. If Baltimore won somehow in London, they'd be 3-0, and we'd be talking about them as one of the better teams. But they all had a winless week, and it was an awful, awful weekend for the AFC North.
Sorry for being a bad radio show host. I should have let you go first. That way I go last with the AFC West.
I can go next if you want. Leave it for
Oakland. Too much work for you. Because I'm really from Oakland. We'll do this because we're going to revisit this Broncos Raiders game quite a bit, especially when we talk with Nate Lundy of the Fantasy Football Hour. He'll do a great job of getting your fantasy football roster set, but he also covers the Denver Broncos there in Denver. That's at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. And let's start with the Denver Broncos. And in my eyes, Jason, my one small thought for that team in Denver is this is the week where we determine if you're real or not. Because we can look at what they've done. You know, they were 2-0, and it was like, okay, let's give them some credit. And then they come out and lay that egg last week. And it's like, well, all right. But now you got the Raiders. And in his six meetings against the Broncos, Khalil Mack has recorded 7 sacks. It's kind of the J.J. Watt. It's like the J.J. Watt Tennessee Titans stat, just a shorter time frame. He loves sacking whoever is at the quarterback position for the Denver Broncos. He even has he had 5 in one game. The Denver calls it the Khalil Mack game. For me, the Broncos can't even be taken seriously yet. But if they win this one, this is the one where they're taken seriously. The Chiefs. I can't believe this conversation is about to happen. The Kansas City Chiefs, my one small thought on them, fire away. 9 straight games, they have had a play of over 50 yards. Kareem Hunt took a handoff, hit the left, went to the end zone, 69 yards. That is an NFL record. 9 straight games with a play over 50 yards. Remember the Chiefs couldn't do big plays?
That's what I thought.
Game managers, dink and dunk down the field. 9 straight games. That's 4 this year. 3 so far this year. 5 last year. But last year, no one was paying attention to those big plays. Like, whatever. I think it was Tyreek Hill, actually. Week after week after week. Just every time it was Tyreek Hill. No one was looking at what the Chiefs were doing. Then Alex Smith comes out, throws a couple of 70-plus yard bombs in opening night with the Patriots around and everybody watching. And it's like, oh, look at Alex Smith. That's cute. And then they do it again. Oh, look at that. Now they've done it 3 weeks in a row, and it's like, whoa. I actually have a second small thought on the Chiefs. I was wrong about them. I thought at some point they're not going to be good enough in the regular season anymore. Mm-hmm. Because
that's where their strength has been.
Right. The knock on Andy Reid is that you're good in the regular season, but you're not going to win in the postseason. And whether that's Andy Reid's fault or it's just the way the team's constructed, that's just the way it's been for him. But this team is good, and their regular season good. Where this is going to be, you know, we're headed into week 4, where this is going to be in week 16, week 1 of the playoffs, that's an entirely different story. The North of San Diego Chargers. This was tough to get one small thought on the Chargers, Jay Ross, but tune out the noise. That's the only thing I could come up with for them. You're 0-3. You've been competitive. The biggest issue you're facing right now, at least in my eyes, is your division. You have, you know, we talked about the Bengals. The Chargers you could probably put up there because last year, in terms of baffling teams, because last year you had the excuse of the injuries. Week after week after week, someone was getting hurt. That's not the case this year. You got your quarterback back there. You still got Kareem Allen back there. You got pieces, much like Andy Dalton does. You got pieces. You're just not coming away with wins. And then, of course, it's being magnified by the fact that you're in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is being ridiculed. The attendance in Los Angeles is being ridiculed. And my feeling is the longer that the Chargers lose, the worse that problem is going to get because you're at 25,000 right now in a 27-seat stadium. You continue to lose, and you're firmly out of playoff contention in 3 weeks. That 25 is going to become 20. And then before you know it, that 20 is going to become 18 and 17 and 16. So somehow, some way, the Chargers got to find a way to tune out the noise and just get a win. Finally, your Oaklando Raiders. Short memory.
Yeah.
I mean, I know. I'm sorry to not be more creative. One small thought, short memory. Derek Carr will be fine. I think Amari Cooper will be fine. I think Michael Crabtree will be fine. David Emerson is the one who's really got to shake off that rough game that he had. The Washington scored 5 touchdowns. 3 of them were against him. Mm. Now, he had some very good plays. He had a lot of pass breakups. He did some things well. But when you're the cornerback who gives up 21 points, that is a very rough film session. And hopefully they had that film session. They know what they informed David Emerson. He knows what mistakes he made. They told him what he's got to do better, and he can shake it off. And that, I think, is the most important thing for the Oakland Raiders.
Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
I'll finish with the AFC East. Buffalo Bills, my one small thought. Who are you and what are you?
I'm Batman.
2-1. It's a very nice start, should we believe. One thing that will make those that want to believe in Buffalo, they have allowed the fewest points in the NFL. So that's what they're hanging their hat on so far, and that's something I didn't know, I was a little surprised about. That's one of the reasons why they're 2-1. Quality win against Denver. Their other win was against the Jets. I still feel like I need to see a couple more weeks of this team, but hey, 2-1 off to a great start, but I think we're still trying to learn about the Buffalo Bills. Miami Dolphins, Jay Cutler changes uniforms, but the real quarterback is still under there, that different jersey. It's exactly kind of what you think you're going to get with Jay Cutler teams.
That game was everything that I had expected a Jay Cutler-led team to play like.
Yeah.
Was the one that we saw last week.
Going into New York, we're all down on the Jets. The Jets just dominate. Pathetic performance by the offense brings up questions. Adam Gase, we mentioned the other day, is already talking about changing some of the starters on offense. So it's week 2 for them. They've only played 2 weeks. They had, obviously, the first week off. And it's messy already in Miami. They dodged a bullet in the first game, lost the second. So they should be pleased at least that they're 1-1, but it's not looking good right now in Miami. The New England Patriots, my one small thought for them, is Tom Brady covering up some other issues? Obviously, they had a great comeback win that Brady saved the day. They also lost, though, at home to Kansas City. They barely beat Houston at home. Probably should have lost that. So what's interesting about this team right now is I'm going to give you the list of teams that have allowed more points than the New England Patriots this year. I'm done. They've allowed more points than anybody in the NFL.
Wow.
Defense used to be their thing. They obviously have always had a great offense, but they also had the balance. They were one of the better defenses. They have allowed more points than anybody in the NFL, and I wouldn't have guessed that. Gave up a ton to Kansas City, gave up a lot to Houston with a rookie quarterback. They just have not been sharp defensively at all this season. And then the last one, my one small thought on the New York Jets. Enjoy the win, Jets, and you too, Josh McCown. Out of the last 30 games that Josh McCown has been in, his team, they've won 3 of them. 3.
Wow.
Whether it's Jets, Browns, wherever he's been, the last 30 times he's been in a game with the team, they're 3-27.
That, folks, is called your stat of the day.
Yeah, that's ugly. That's awful. But enjoy it. Jets, you won. You got a home win. I wondered if home cooking could help. I didn't know if it would. It did. They got a quality win, I guess, and to take it. 1-2 so far.
I don't know if it came up earlier here on this station, but I'll just address it because it's come through the text line like 10 times. that offensive line room regarding the Raiders is stupid.
Yeah, no.
And that won't even get the time of day here. No. Just for the text, stop. Stop looking for conspiracy theories as to why the team played bad. Everybody has
exposed.
A bad. Yeah, they the offense, you know, the Cowboys played just as bad.
Yeah. That's a disservice to Washington. Washington was dominant.
Who's a team that we're still trying to, we're like,
yeah.
They're there. Like, I'm not sure what to think about them yet, but those guys can ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins, he's on the verge of making $100+ million for a reason. And you saw it.
Yeah.
And sorry, Raider fans, that you had to be the ones who highlighted that, but he's a pretty damn good quarterback.
Absolutely.
And Dave Douglas is a pretty damn good producer. He put together a hell of a football life on John Madden that's going to air on the NFL Network tomorrow. Raider fans, you're going to want to stick around for this. We're going to talk to him next. Time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host North Dakota at Aggie Stadium this Saturday at 6 p.m. Go to ucdavisaggies.com. Coming up this hour, Dave Douglas, producer of John Madden, A Football Life, is going to join us here in just a heartbeat. Also, this hour, we're going to have an opportunity for you to win another copy of NBA 2K18 from 2K Sports. Since we were preempted yesterday by Oakland A's baseball, we're going to have another opportunity for you to win that. We got Sac State football tickets coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. I love Thursdays. I love that football season is back because Nate Lundy is with us. And you start to sense the panic from some people regarding their fantasy football
yes.
team. Like, there, we have text messages and tweets from before the show mm-hmm. asking for fantasy football advice.
We need help.
Yeah, so if you tweet them, cool. I can reference those pretty easy. If you're texting them, you may want to text them at 2 o'clock because they'll absolutely get lost in the shuffle. Happy to bring in Dave Douglas, the producer of John Madden, A Football Life, that airs on the NFL Network tomorrow. Doug, first of all, congratulations. A tremendous episode of A Football Life. That's a really good series the NFL Network has going on. I got the opportunity to watch that last night. There were some great stories in it, but the one that really sticks out was the John Robinson ice cream story.
Isn't that great?
That's
incredible. It's actually a true story. They've been friends since the age of 10. They competed for everything. And that was one of the rules when you were a kid growing up out there. If you got an ice cream cone, of course, neither one of the guys had two quarters to scrape together. So when you had an ice cream cone, that was a big occasion, you know. And if you had one and I didn't, and I yelled bites before you said no bites, the rule was that you had to share it. But, of course, you know, John wasn't about to put up with that. So he'd quick spit on that ice cream cone before his good friend John Robinson could get a bite. But then John said, the heck with it. I'm eating it anyway. And to this day, Madden says he's the only guy who would ever eat an ice cream cone after he said bites when you spit on it. And Robinson's logic was simple. I didn't rent the damn ice cream cone. I just didn't want to lose to him.
There it is. And watching those two tell that story through split clips is so freaking funny.
Yeah. There's one story that didn't make the show. They were on the same baseball team. And one time they were in a game, and John was catching. And he tried to pick the guy off at first base. I'm sorry, it was a passed ball. So, you know, John quickly jumped on the ball, and the guy would have been out by like 15 steps. But instead, John rifled the ball into right field. And the dude scored on a passed ball. And Robinson said, hey, John, nice job. You just threw the guy a homer. Yeah.
You know, one of the things we were talking about earlier about John Madden, which is interesting, it's, you know, whether he's associated with being a head coach of the Raiders, whether or not it's the broadcast or whether or not it's the video game icon, it almost may depend on your age where you fall in line with him. But getting to talk to him, what does he associate himself with the most amongst maybe those three?
There's only one answer. It's a coach. Mm. For 20 years, even over 20 years, he waited for that call from the Hall of Fame. And I'm sure he could have got in as a, you know, a contributor.
Yeah.
Or he could have gotten in as a 16-time Emmy-winning broadcaster. He was not going in that way. And when I met him and did the interview this spring, I called him coach. That's what he wants to be, and that's what he'll always be.
Dave Douglas, the producer of John Madden, A Football Life, that airs tomorrow night on the NFL Network with us here on The Lowdown. Does he resent the video game?
You know, he sold over 100 100 million copies. 100 million copies. If he gets a dollar per game, it'd be pretty hard to resent it. I think you might resent the fact a little bit that, that young generation kids only know him by the video game.
Yeah. But, it was weird when the I just asked that, Dave, because when the topic came up, his reaction was very I just found his reaction to it unique, given how successful it is.
Yeah, you know what, though? He has been involved in that game for decades now, still does the voiceover. You know, and that's not easy. You know, he's 81 years old now. He'd still go into the booth and make all the calls. He's still very involved with Trip Hawkins, the creator of the game. So I think in his heart of hearts, it's probably one of the greatest, luckiest things that ever happened to him.
What do you feel like you learned about him? Because I think he's had such a fascinating life. You said he's always wanted to be coach, but just, I don't know, him as a person and just getting the time to spend with him, what else did you learn about him?
Well, he's very protective of his family, his wife, and his time. And I don't think he suffers fools very well. So I think when we first approached him to do the show, he said, nah, you don't need me to do another interview. If you've interviewed me so many hundreds of times over the years, just make something out of that, you know. And so we convinced him, you know, to give us one final great interview, you know, to really look back as a sage. But what struck me was what a gentleman he is, what a thoughtful man he is, what a great father that he is. And his players to this day adore him, utterly adore him. And he's outlived many of them, sadly. I guess I'm the Raider guy. I did the Ken Stabler football life, and he's gone now. Then I did Charles Woodson last year, and now Madden, so three Raiders in a row. And the name Madden is the Raiders now. I mean, there's no bigger, more famous Raider than John Madden, except for maybe Al Davis.
Well, now I think you're this show's favorite television producer in all the world, because there are some diehard Raider fans listening to this.
Yeah, they're going to love it.
What would Madden's legacy be as a coach without that one Super Bowl that he got? Because NFL, that one Super Bowl is everything.
Yeah, that's true. But I will say this. He won 100 games faster than any other coach in NFL history, including Belichick. He has a better winning percentage than Vince Lombardi. He took his team, if he would have lost that Super Bowl, say, then that would have been five AFC championship losses and a Super Bowl loss. That would have been pretty grim. But, you know, I don't know. Look, he let the Raiders be the Raiders. Like the coach before him left and went to Buffalo, John Roush. And then he took them over, and they had all these inane rules. And Al Davis was kind of the coach, de facto coach. And Al let a guy who's 32 years old, think of that, the youngest coach in the NFL, take this team over. And they played for John. He only had, as you saw, just three rules. You know, show up, don't be late, pay attention, and play like hell on Sunday. And that's what his rules were. And if you did that, that's all he asked of you. And I don't know what his thinking would be about today's national anthem controversy and all that stuff. And maybe he has made a comment about it, and I haven't seen it. But whatever that comment would be, you know, would be truthful and honest and something that he really meant. Not something he thought he should say to protect the league or to support the players. It would be however he really felt about something. And every answer he gave us was thoughtful and honest. That's really all you can ask of a guy.
Yeah. Did he share any opinions on, I mean, he's seen this team move from Oakland to Los Angeles and back to Oakland, but did he share any opinions on their eventual move to Las Vegas?
He did not. One of the rules was we had 1 hour with John. His wife was off limits. We couldn't do very much with him other than the interview. So when I sat down with him, and he was very generous, then he allowed us to go way over maybe an hour and a half. And we didn't get a chance to talk about things that really didn't directly pertain to him.
Yeah.
You know, so we stuck with his life, his story, and you know, it was his football life, not about the movement of the Raiders.
Well, it's terrific work, Dave. Congratulations. John Madden, A Football Life, airs tomorrow at 6 p.m. on the NFL Network. You mentioned you've done three Raiders in a row now. If you could pick a Raider on the current roster for A Football Life, who would it be?
Wow, on the current roster?
Yep.
Does it include Jack Del Rio?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Go. I think he might be my guy then.
Okay.
He's got a hell of a story. He's, you know, USC, all that stuff. other experience as a head coach, ups and downs. Worked with the Ravens, won a Super Bowl with them. I think he's doing something special with Oakland. I love Derek Carr. I love that linebacker. I don't like last week's performance, but I think in the long run, they're young, hungry, aggressive, and definitely on the way up.
Yeah, welcome to the club, Dave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations again, John Madden of Football Live tomorrow on the NFL Network. Thank you so much for your time today.
All right, thank you, fellas.
Thank
you. All right, that is Dave Douglas, the producer of John Madden of Football Life. It's really an entertaining watch, and just as Madden's career, it's three very distinctive segments, mm-hmm. and it opens up with the, you know, it talks about his lifelong relationship with John Robinson, who followed him to the NFL, followed him everywhere. So starts with him as the football coach and how he got into coaching, and then it goes into the broadcasting stuff, and it's only, you know, counting commercials, it's going to be about 44 minutes. That is not enough time to tell three very amazing and distinctive careers. But then it goes, you know, it goes right into broadcasting. There's a touching moment where they show him speaking at Pat Summerall's funeral, and then it gets into the video game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch it, just pay attention to that last third when it gets to the video game part. And he, you know, he almost like, I didn't even know what a video game was. And, you know, he gets into it for there, and he doesn't talk negatively about it. I just thought his reaction was like, huh. I wonder if it does bother him that so many people, he's going to be, I have to imagine, you know, Dave just mentioned that he's 81 years old.
Right.
You know, he's going to pass away
at some point.
I don't think that franchise is going anywhere.
Yeah, what's interesting, too, is that he, as Dave said, wants to be called coach, wants to be associated mm-hmm. with a coach. I don't remember him as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he was a fantastic broadcaster, and I would say broadcasting is what got him to the video game, not coaching. Now, coaching got him to broadcasting. Broadcasting got him. I mean, it's an amazing kind of three tiers that he was all very wildly successful.
Time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host North Dakota at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 6 p.m. Go to ucdavisaggies.com. We'll come back. We'll talk more NFL, and we'll give away another NBA 2K18 video game. That's next on The Lowdown. Hey, guess what? It's time to get your UC Davis Aggie football tickets. They host North Dakota. I don't know if you heard. Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 6 p.m. Go to ucdavisaggies.com. We're going to give away this NBA 2K game here, 2K18, in just a heartbeat. JR, what's happening, my brother?
Hey, dude.
What's up, man?
Hey, that was a great interview. You know, those Robinson Madden stories of growing up in the peninsula, Daly City area, are legendary. If you grew up there as a kid, you always heard about all their antics, whether it be on a baseball field, basketball field. You knew who those two were. So that was cool to hear that guy say that. I'm excited about that. What is it? Kind of a...
The football life, yeah.
The video. And you know where Robinson went to school, of course. Do you know Jay Ross?
Where he went to school?
Yeah, high school.
Was it Sarah?
The great Sarah High School, home of your favorite Brady, best baseball player ever, Bonds, best caller ever, JR. So there you go. See ya.
He's in the Hall of Fame. He is in the Hall of Fame. There's zero question about that. I'm actually nervous. We're going from JR to Jack for the very first time ever, and I have no idea how this is going to go. Jack, what's up, man?
That's messed up, man. I just wanted to talk about the Madden franchise. Like, I don't buy it every year. I buy it every, like, 3 to 4 years because I do the franchise mode, and I try to go all 30 seasons deep before I upgrade to the next game. But ever since Madden kind of stepped away from the franchise and he's not calling the games, it's not the same, man. It feels like something's missing. It's nothing against Phil Simms and whoever they've got calling the games, but if I'm playing Madden, I want Madden calling my games. I want those corny calls that he used to do, you know. If you're the defense, you got to watch out for the run, but you also got to be prepared for the pass. Now, I want those kind of calls, man. That's what made Madden great.
That's sound thinking right there.
Very solid. He's ready for everything.
Pretty logical thinking. I like it.
He actually said that in a game featuring the Dallas Cowboys. I can't remember who the other team was, though.
Jack, we appreciate you, my man.
Take care, my friends.
This actually went better than I thought. I really wasn't sure where Jack was going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely miss if I was an avid game player, but he's 81.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how much work that is. Is Phil Simms going to be replaced? That's all I can think about as soon as he said, oh, by the way, guess who's calling the Raiders game this week?
Is it Romo again?
It is.
Wow.
It's Nansen Romo. That's
literally calling the game, the plays.
Yes.
Yeah.
You saw Brent Musburger's response to that. Mm-hmm. I knew someone wasn't going to like it.
Yeah.
I knew someone wasn't going to like it. I don't know. I feel like fans like it.
It was definitely the first game I was totally into it. I thought it was interesting. I did wonder though if it's constantly happening over time, like would that get, I don't know. I don't know the answer until we hear it weeks and weeks or years later.
You know the conversation we keep having regarding the song in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Like let it be organic. Don't try to make Marshawn dance every week. I feel like when Romo makes the call, he's doing it in the flow of the game. Like I don't think he's going out of his way to prognosticate what's about to happen. It's just it's in the flow. It's his verbiage at that moment. I don't think he's forcing anything.
No, he's seeing the game as he would be if he was behind the center. I mean, like,
right.
This is what,
which is what you want from an analyst.
What he's so fresh at. I mean, he just came from the field. So yeah,
One of the best analysts in all of sports, in all of basketball, I should say, Kara Lawson. She's going to join us at 2:30. She is the newest analyst for My Washington Wizards. She is one of only two full-time female analysts in the NBA. I forgot the name of the other woman. I'm
Stephanie
sorry.
Stephanie Reddy?
She's in
Charlotte?
But I don't think she's full-time.
Oh.
Maybe she is.
I thought she was.
But the girl in Brooklyn. Brooklyn just signed somebody. So maybe it's three.
They did.
Brooklyn signed someone.
Okay.
That's the girl I can't remember.
Gotcha.
But I know Stephanie very well. So Kara Lawson will be with us at 2:30. Nate Lundy is going to join us in about 8 minutes. So get your fantasy football questions ready. We'll get you all set up. You can text them in now, 44-1140. You can tweet us at Jason Ross 1140 or at Damian Barling, and we will get your questions to Nate Lundy regarding your fantasy football week. Of course, week four of the NFL season kicks off tonight here with Thursday Night Football on Sports 1140, 5 o'clock. The Bears and the Packers. A couple of notes. Myles Garrett practiced.
All right. I like that.
I really want to see him play.
Yeah, I do too.
Sam Bradford did not.
Right. Missing another game.
He's missing another game, and Andrew Luck is not back to practicing yet.
Oh, okay. I thought he was going to return to practice, but we knew he wasn't playing this week. But
nothing.
Okay. We keep waiting.
Literally
nothing.
Let's see. Romo is annoying because he giggles like a girl when teams run a truck play.
Okay, I'd have to hear that again.
I hadn't noticed. And maybe I like Romo giggling like, yeah. Why are you mad? Why are you mad, text line? Ken, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I hear you talking about Tony Romo, and I, for one, think he's doing a bang-up job, and I like what he's doing. To me, and I can only speak to myself, I think about UB Brown and Doug Collins, and one of the things that make both of those guys so good when you're listening to them is when situations come up, they pretty much tell you what's getting ready to happen. They break down, you know, especially Doug Collins. He'll tell you what a specific team like to run in a specific a situation, and then he'll tell you to look for it. Boom, it happens. He's described what is going on. To me, Tony Romo is doing the same thing. This is a former quarterback telling you from a quarterback's perspective what may be happening and from his perspective why it may be happening. If you're listening for analysts to give you some insight into the game, why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want somebody that's basically been there? In fact, that's why former players are supposed to be so valuable, because they give you an insight from the field perspective that somebody who studied the game can never give you. No matter how much film you look at, no matter how much you think you can learn about the game as a spectator, it is not the same being on the field, having to change signals from an oncoming blitz or change blocking patterns so a player is successful. To me, that's the essence of what an analyst does. And so anybody that has a problem with what Tony Romo is doing really doesn't understand what an analyst is supposed to be doing. I think he's doing a great job.
Appreciate you, Ken. Thank you so much. I'm guessing Brent Musburger might have a little bit of an understanding what an analyst is needed for, but everyone has their personal taste,
sure.
And we knew Romo wasn't going to fit into everyone's. Play My Team and collect cards featuring NBA legends from yesterday and today to create your perfect fantasy team. You can compete in a variety of modes. That's all part of NBA 2K18 from 2K Sports, available on PS4, PS3, Xbox One, Xbox 360, PC, and Nintendo Switch. We have another copy for you right now, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Nate Lundy joins us next.